Hi, I'm John Paul, and thank you for coming to my channel. Videos of all of the audios that are on this podcast are on my YouTube channel, which is at John Paul Davis TTP. So do take a look at that. There's also a couple of additional videos which haven't made it on as audios to this podcast as well, which you might find helpful or interesting. If you do like the YouTube channel, please do subscribe. That would be amazing. Also, in terms of this podcast, it'd be great if you could follow it, and you'll, of course, then be notified of any future episodes. Also, if you do like the podcast, if you could give it a rating or review, I'd be really grateful. That would be wonderful. And finally, just to say, if there's anything you want to discuss following this podcast, or anything you hear on any of the other podcasts as well, then please do, of course, get in contact with me via my website, www.thistrustedplace.co.uk. There should be a link to that on this podcast page. Thanks again for coming to the channel, and I really hope you enjoy the episode. Hi, I'm John Paul, and a really warm welcome back to my YouTube channel. Wanted to talk today about expectations of therapy. So what we might have expected coming into therapy and what it might actually then be like. The reason for this is that often if we have expectations of something which might be quite narrowly defined, completely understandable, but might be quite narrowly defined, then we might get into it and think it's not working, or that we're doing something that we shouldn't, and might therefore, I suppose, be more conflicted about it than we could be, or might end prematurely. So I think it's important to look at our expectations. This is based on the fact that I put a slide up on Instagram, and I'm going to put a link to that slide below this video so you can have a look at it. And what that slide showed was what I expected from therapy, and there were three things, and then what it was actually like. And a lot of people responded to it. So I do think it's something that does come up for people, definitely. Just using the slide as a base, really, to talk things through here. What the slide said as far as expectations, as I say, were three things, which were the therapist asking you a lot, and how does that make you feel? And then big breakthroughs and lots of crying. If taking those in turn, a therapist asking you, and how does that make you feel? You know, there are very good reasons why therapists are often drawing people's attention to what they feel. Often in life, we come away from what we feel. We're led by the environment around us and our cognitive function, and we get disconnected from our feelings and therefore our bodies. Because it didn't really matter what we felt. We had to do certain things. We had to do things even if we didn't want to a lot of the time. And of course, that's part of life anyway, sometimes. But a lot of us, as I say, do get into the habit of coming away from our felt experience. So we're losing those messages that our feelings, our emotions, our body gives us about what to go towards and what to come away from. So as I say, there's very good reason, both for therapists often directing attention to our bodies, to our feelings, and also really encouraging us to bring those feelings and voice them in relationships. Sometimes people know what they feel, but they haven't had an experience where it's been safe to bring what they feel into relationship with another person. And therapy ought to be that place where there isn't anything that you can think, anything that you can feel, and if you communicate it, where that will be a problem. So definitely, I think that question will be asked. From a personal point of view, how does that make you feel? Often the response to that will be either okay or not great. Perhaps a more helpful question can be, what does that make you feel? That tends to then elicit more of a response of anger or sadness, fear, grief, love, whatever it is, which I think can be more helpful. As well as feelings, though, as well as talking about feelings and drawing your attention to your felt experience of things, there's also thoughts, of course. You know, we're not just made up of what we feel. It might be that that's the primary relationship which has been disconnected during early experience. For some people, you know, focusing on their thoughts is very important. You know, looking at ourselves holistically. So there's also looking at what we do with our bodies and what we can do with our bodies, how we can help our bodies to feel good in a way that's going to help our emotions, that's going to help us to feel safe, that a safe body will calm thoughts. So thoughts, feelings, body's important. Of course, behaviours. You know, what are we actually doing on a day-to-day basis? What media do we consume? Physical movement, exercise, sleep, the water we drink, how much, all those things, those kind of habits, behavioural habits, are also very important and can be looked at within therapy. As well, we might be looking at relationships with others. there is an overlap, of course, between behaviours and the amount of time we're spending around other people. But looking at relationships with others, what comes up for us there? Do we trust other people? Do we trust ourselves in relationship with other people? What happens, you know, around validation from others? What's that like? How do we orientate ourselves in relationship with other people? Communication, boundaries, all of those things can come up. And relationships with others outside of the room, really importantly, perhaps we could be looking at relationship with your therapist within the room and what that brings up and what that's like. So as well as feelings, there's, as I say, thoughts, body, behaviours, relationships, relationship with self, relationships with others, your imagination, daydreams, dreams, all sorts of things that can be looked at, can really helpfully be looked at in the work. Then moving on to big breakthroughs, and of course, big breakthroughs are going to be part of therapy potentially at times. They are the thing that often gets dramatised in when therapy is depicted on in the media and on television and in films. What we might see is a therapist saying something which shifts somebody's perspective of themselves and the world in an important way. And of course, that does happen sometimes. And with these big breakthroughs, somebody's view of themselves and the world changes in a way that it's helpful for them, and they're never going to go back from. You can never unrealize something. You can never unsee or unexperience something. So big breakthroughs definitely are part of it. Two things to say there. It's probably not going to be one breakthrough after another with people. And secondly, breakthroughs can come in different ways for people, rather than necessarily just something that the therapist said that results in a realisation with a client. If you're looking at the first one of those, which is one breakthrough after another, you know, this is potentially a long-term open-ended therapeutic relationship. There might be periods where there is slow progress with people and somebody might be frustrated at the lack of progress, and then there's a leap forward. So you might have repeated patterns. Somebody comes into therapy to change patterns, but there is often a lag between the cognitive awareness of something and realizing that something needs to change, and even how it might change, and actually experiencing that differently. So you might have, as I say, slow progress, you might have repeated patterns, and then a leap forward. And then if you're looking at what those breakthroughs are, you know, the example I've described might be shown on TV as a therapist saying something and an aha moment or an epiphany moment for a client as a result of that. Breakthroughs can happen in all sorts of different ways for people. For some people, it is the cognitive awareness or realization of something that comes from a therapist. For other people, it's something that they realize themselves or an awareness that they come to within that therapeutic relationship. The therapeutic relationship, they felt safe enough to say something, which means that they realize something themselves. So that can often be a breakthrough. Breakthroughs can be in expressing somebody's frustration or anger. It can be in expressing gratitude. So it can happen during sessions. It could happen at the door handle moments, just as somebody's leaving the room. Of course, breakthroughs can and will happen outside of sessions. It isn't just work that happens during the 50 minutes. The sort of realizations that we might come to, our psyches will be using the information and using the experience that happens during therapy in all of our interactions outside of therapy. So a big breakthrough could happen at 2 p.m. whilst you're standing in the queue for a coffee. You might realize that you're being very critical about yourself or even perhaps other people. And those sorts of awarenesses, as I say, those sort of shift in perspective can happen at any time, can happen at any moment. They may be in relationship with self, only you can hear it, or there might be something you feel more able to do in relationship with others, put a boundary in, communicate something, or in a moment not communicate something. Some people work could be around not being as critical within a romantic relationship, for example. So it could be that to contain something, to self-soothe, could be somebody's process. So lots of different ways that breakthroughs can happen. And we often attach, and therapy is that sort of, it is a relationship, isn't it, in ways where we might have ambivalence or feel anxious. It may not be feeling 100% fully committed to therapy all the time. We might sometimes really look forward to therapy and wish it was sooner. There might be other times when we wish we didn't have it or don't know what we're going to talk about. Sometimes we might wonder whether we like our therapist. Sometimes we might wonder whether our therapist likes us. Is this a good use of money? Is this being helpful? It may be that we come into therapy thinking that it's going to be about one particular thing and actually it turns into something else, or we do deal with that one particular thing and then there's other things that we want to look at. So those breakthroughs, again, as I say, can be different. There isn't a linear process, I don't think, for people. There's no prescribed formula for doing this. There's no right, there's no wrong. There's just bringing what's happening for you, and to the extent that somebody can, you know, to talk about it, to bring into relationship what's happening for them. And then lastly, tears and crying a lot. As I've said with the other two, there's a good reason why tears are important and why tears can often be a part of therapy, can often be a part of the breakthrough for people. Of course, they're a feeling. So again, that goes back to moving our attention to our feelings and making sure that there isn't any feeling that we can't express or that we feel unsafe expressing, and a feeling that people will often feel unsafe expressing because of conditioning growing up, because of the environment they grew up in, is sadness. It is associated with perhaps weakness. You know, people will turn against it, like they may do other types of feelings as well, like they may do all feeling, love, sadness, fear. Tears can therefore be really important in therapy, expressing our sadness in that way, expressing grief, self-sorrow, sorrow for others, empathy for self, empathy for others. Often we aren't able during early experience to really to express the grief in that way that we might have done, or express love. I mean, tears can be expressed with joy as part of joy and love as well, and those things may not have been possible in the past. So no matter how further in the future it might be to express them, say both in relationship with self but also in relationship with a therapist, and that to be okay, can be very important for people, and you know, something that's very healing that can come from therapy can be a big breakthrough to be able to be tearful, for that to be accepted, understood, heard, empathized with. And also, as well as tears, laughter as well can be important in therapy, as in all relationships, as long as we're not using it to avoid something. And if we are using it to avoid something, then that's something we can look at too. So tears are important, laughter can be important, expressing anger could be important. I don't mean physically, I mean verbally, to say that that's something that's rising for people. And another important feeling, as well as the sort of tears and sadness, is also fear and anxiety. I would say that's a really key one, is that sort of feeling the fear and doing it anyway, or saying it anyway, really going to an edge. If something has been something that somebody's felt ashamed of, feels anxious or embarrassed to say that within therapy to somebody, to feel safe enough to say that, often those things lose their power. We're able then to process them, you know, for them to be heard, understood, is huge progress for people. To realize that within the therapeutic relationship, there is nothing that they could say, think, feel that will ruin the relationship, that will change how somebody will feel about them, is often where the work's going to be. So tears being an indicator of where the work and shifts, and also if we feel nervous or anxious about saying something, really trying to do that where we can as well. So I hope what's come through here is that, of course, feelings, big breakthroughs, sadness are a part of, are likely to be a part of an ongoing therapeutic relationship. And also, there's no right or wrong to it. There's no prescribed formula. As in any relationship, there are all sorts of things that are going to come up. There's ambivalence that we might experience. As long as we communicate it, as long as we do our best to talk about it within the therapeutic relationship, it may be that we decide as a result of that that we don't want to continue, for example. I think the important thing is to trust ourselves and the other person enough to enable us to do that. So that's just some ideas around it, as I say, around expectations, what it might be like. I would love to hear what your expectations might have been. If you're going into therapy, what your expectations are. If you've been in therapy a while, what were your expectations and what's actually happened? If you're a therapist, I'd love to hear your views. Please do therefore feel free to comment below. If you found the video helpful, please give it a like as ever. If you want to subscribe to the channel, please do that as well. Of course, if there's anything in the video you want to discuss or talk about therapy or what it might be like, please also do feel free to get in touch via my website. So thank you for watching. I hope it's been helpful. Do take care, and I'll see you again soon.